thank you. That is one of my favorite songs. Well, we're continuing with the series on Jesus, who do you say that I am? This morning we'll look at Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And the gospel reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 5 and following. And Thomas said to him, to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where we are going, so how do we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Well, this morning I want to continue thinking about that question, who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? And this morning we're looking at the way, the truth, and the life. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about these three men who were out hiking in the wilderness one day, and they came across this flooded, violent, raging river that they had to cross. And so the first man looked up to heaven and prayed and said, God, give me the strength to be able to swim across this river. And poof, God gave him strong arms and strong legs, and so the man jumped in the water and he fought the current, and it took him about 2 hours to get across that river. And the other man, seeing that, prayed, God, please give me the strength and the tools to cross the river. And so, poof, God had a boat appear and gave the man strong arms, and the man got in the boat and he was able, struggling against the current, to row across in about 30 minutes. And the next man looked up to heaven and said, God, please give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to cross the river. And poof, God turned him into a woman. He pulled out the map and read it, hiked 5 minutes up the river and crossed the footbridge and was able to get across. So, I got to make sure I keep the women on my side or bad things happen. So, well, without raising your hands, I wonder if anyone ever has been lost in your life. There's no modern convenience I like better than the GPS, I got to tell you, because I can decide I'm going to go see something on just a whim, and it reroutes along the way, and theoretically it gets me there. Sometimes I have to I have two different systems, so one sometimes gets me lost, but then at least the other one will get me out of there. But along the way of life, we sometimes take some detours, and the question to all of us is, where are we, and where are we going, and are we going to the right place? And this morning, I think, as we look at this series, we've looked at a number of things. We looked at Jesus as a friend to sinners, Jesus as the coming king, and Jesus when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And this morning, the way, the truth, and the life. And really, that's the central question to all of life, isn't it? The way, the truth, and the life. And the first thing is, Jesus said, I am the way. And so when you think about being lost, sometimes you've been hiking, maybe got lost. I know I've been hiking and got lost before, wondered where I was, and some of the things that you looked at, maybe a mountain or a stream or whatever, they weren't exactly where you thought you were, and then you got even more lost. But it's true also in life. Sometimes we get lost, and sometimes you see people, maybe dramatically so, who you thought were really pinnacles or symbols of success, and then all of a sudden they weren't. And I think of a number of people, and I think of Mike Tyson some time ago. Of course, he was a world champion heavyweight boxer, and he was at the pinnacle of success at the turn of year 2000, he was worth $300 million, an incredible amount. Then all of a sudden, everything changed. He was thrown in jail for 3 years. He came out, he fought Kevin McBride in 2005 and lost decidedly. And someone asked him afterwards, he said, what do you think about that? And he replied, he said, who am I? What am I? I don't even know. I'm just a dumb child who has been abused and robbed by lawyers and just a fool by some people. Now, you might look at that and say, well, he should have known better. But the truth is, all of us have been lost in some way or another. And you can think of other people that would climb through the mountain of success only to find that really wasn't the mountain of real lasting success anyway. And our success may not be as dramatic as Mike Tyson's or someone else you could think of, but it's true. Maybe sometimes we find ourselves climbing the wrong mountain in life or falling along the wrong pathway in life. And so for all of us to think, you know, where are we and where are we going today? Are we following the right path? Are we climbing the right mountain? And, you know, if we're following Christ, we can have confidence that we are on the right pathway, that we are climbing the right mountain, and our success will last not just for today, but for all eternity. And so you look at this morning, and Jesus appeared to, he was with Thomas and all the disciples just before his crucifixion, and he was sort of going over some things, and all of a sudden they were completely disoriented. And you know, they had been following Jesus, and they had seen Jesus' miracles, and the people were healed, and then all of a sudden Jesus said, you know, we're going to Jerusalem, and things are going to get bad. Things are going to get really bad. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give my life. And they were confused by that. They were looking for this heaven, this earthly kingdom, and Jesus was talking about a heavenly kingdom. And Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And it was in that chapter that everything got turned around. And Thomas says this, makes this incredible question. He said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? You know, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And it was to that that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Philip jumped in and said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus says, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. And you know, for all of us, I mean, that's the key truth in life. I mean, if we're honest, we might not know where we are, what chapter in life we're in, what route we're on the way. But if we really trust the Lord, then even though the signs may not make sense of where we are on the trail, may not recognize that sign, we know that Jesus is leading us along the right pathway. When Moses saw the burning bush in the Old Testament, and God told him to go and to lead the Israelites out of bondage and slavery in Egypt to freedom and the promised land, Moses asked God, he said, if the people ask me, who is calling us, who is sending us, whom shall I say? And God's answer to Moses was, my name is Jehovah, or Yahweh in the Hebrew, but it means, I am that I am. I am that I am. And so when Jesus makes these statements in John, these I am statements, it's more than with a little bit of significance. Jesus is saying, I am, and he's following in the footsteps of Jehovah God, the Father, who said to Moses, I am what I am. And Jesus is saying, I am the way and the truth and life. And when Jesus goes on and he answers this question that Philip has asked about the Father, Jesus says this, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. And he goes on to say, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Jesus was saying, I am God. And not just a miracle worker, not just a good person, but I am God come to live among you and to show you the way of love and life. And then Jesus was about to give his life that we might have life. And so all of us, to ask ourselves along the way of life, are we really following God? And if we are, then Jesus is our guide in all those things. Ask yourself today, what way are you on? What mountain are you climbing? If you're not following the way of Jesus, then I submit that you're really going to find that you're on the wrong way. But if we are following Jesus, then wherever we are, we know it's the right way and God will get us there. And then Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. You know, just as Jesus was about to be crucified as he appeared before Pilate, Pilate didn't really know what to do with Jesus. And Pilate was not really a good person, but Pilate's wife had warned him that a good man was going to be crucified and to not sentence him to death. And Pilate, you know, with a tough hardness, looked at Jesus, and you have this feeling that Pilate really understood that this was someone really unique. And Pilate said to Jesus who he was, and Jesus said this, I have come to testify to the truth. And in that moment, Pilate saw a way to sort of make this a philosophical question. He said this, what is truth? What is truth? You know, that was a question that Pilate was familiar with. He was educated in probably the Greek and Roman world, and so this question of ue veritas in the Greek is what is truth? And a lot of us have found a time in life where we asked ourselves, what is truth? And maybe it was in college when everybody was just sort of out at the cafe or whatever, and it's sort of a big philosophical thing. But then there's a point in life where life becomes difficult, and you say, what is the truth that I can stake my life on? What is the truth that I can stake all eternity on? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. And today's climate, we would like to say, well, everybody has a piece of the truth. I think it's true that there are lots of pieces of truth and lots of walks of life. But if you're looking for the real truth that lasts for all eternity, I think it's found only in Jesus Christ. And to make it anything less than that is to water down the truth, and that's not the truth any longer. Winston Churchill said this. He said, truth is absolute. Panic may resent it, ignorance may deride it, malice may distort it, but there it is. And that's really true. Let me read that again. Winston Churchill said, truth is absolute. Panic may resent it, ignorance may deride it, malice may distort it, but there it is. And there's the real truth of our life. If we're following something that's watered down or something that's just a fad or a trend, then it may feel good for a little while, but that's not the truth that will lead us and guide us in life. That's not the light that's going to shine the way in the darkness and take us to where we really want to be. And that's not a truth that we can hold on in all the storms of life. And sometimes people look at something and maybe there's a moment in life where you'd like to hear something else. Someone may say, well, listen, you're sick or whatever, and you don't want to hear that truth. But if the doctor tells you something that's different than that, then they're not really doing you justice. You really need to know the truth. And the truth is for all of us to tell our neighbors and friends, listen, there is a truth for all of life. And that's Jesus Christ. He gave his life that we might know forgiveness and new life. And that's the most important truth in all of life. And then finally, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth, and I am the life. I am the life. This is what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin are death. But praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes along the way of life, we might feel as if all the life has been sucked out of us, and we've all fallen short of God's glory. We've all had sinned and shortcomings in life, and some of us have all experienced some guilt and maybe some shame in life, but we know that real life comes to forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate Easter last Sunday and the hope of eternal life, we know that that comes through following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. To just recap what Don read earlier from Romans chapter 5, it says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into his grace, we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, Jesus has suffered that we might know forgiveness and new life, and we can stake our lives on that, the hope and the truth and the life. What is it that really gives life in your life? What is it that you can lean on when you're feeling tired or discouraged and life has you down? That word life means more than feel-good kind of a thing. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. Just after the resurrection, when Jesus appears to the disciples and they're in the room, and all the disciples are there, and this time Thomas is there. Now, Thomas before said, unless I touch the scars in his hands and feet, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus appears to all the disciples in that closed room. And Jesus comes to them, and when he appears to them, Jesus, it says, breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he shows his hands and feet to Thomas and says, stop doubting, believe. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And in that moment, when Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, that word breathe is used only one place in the New Testament. That means it's very, very special. And if you look at that verse, it's not used very often in the Bible. It's really used in just a couple places in the Old Testament. And the first is when God created the worlds and breathed life into clay and gave life to Adam and Eve and breathed life into them. That's that same word. In other words, God brought life into them and life into the world. And that was something that was very important in the Hebrew world and really in all the world. So God's life was breathed into them. And then if you look in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel has this vision, and God takes him somewhere and he shows him this valley of dry bones. And he asked Ezekiel, he said, can these dry bones come to life? And Ezekiel probably said, I don't think so, Lord. But Ezekiel said, if you say so, Lord. That's a really a good answer. If God is asking a question and you think the answer is yes, but you think it really seems like no. But he said, if you say so, Lord. And then the Lord says, prophesy to those. And so he prophesied to those dry bones. And all of a sudden there was this wind, this breath of God that came out. And those dry bones became living people, a great army of God. And it was an image, a foreshadowing prophecy of the church of Jesus Christ. And that's the word that is used when Jesus breathed into the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, because Jesus was breathing that life in them and fulfilling that prophecy in Ezekiel and really going back to creation itself when God breathed life into us. And sometimes our life may seem as if it's not full of life. We may be full of the dryness of sin and shame and failure and shortcomings, but if Jesus breathes new life into us, then we do have life and have life abundantly. And that only comes because Jesus came from the Father to give us life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Wherever you are today, sometimes we all get lost in life. Know that there is a light in the darkness that we can trust to follow along the way. And that light is Jesus. And just like Thomas said, you know, we don't know where we're going. And Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. I think Jesus would say all those things to us today. There was a grandfather and his grandson that were walking in the woods one day. And the grandfather turned to his little grandson and said, do you know how far we are from home? And the little boy said, no. And then the grandfather said, well, do you know where you are? And the little boy again said, no, I don't know. And then the grandfather sort of looked at the little boy good-natured and said, sounds like you're lost to me. And the little grandson looked at his grandfather and said, no, I can't be lost. As long as I'm with you, I know I'm not lost. And that's really true, isn't it? I mean, we might not know where we are in life as we look around. We might not know how far we are from home, and we might not recognize all the landmarks. But we know this. If we're traveling with Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as our guide, the shepherd who leads us along the way of life, through hill and valley and along the quiet water and through the stormy seas, then we know that we can't be lost because Jesus knows the way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Let all of us receive that and share it with others. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we come before you this day, the Sunday after Easter, Lord, sometimes we get lost along the way of life. All of us do. And none of us know all the answers. But you are the answer. If we follow you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, then we know that if we open our hearts to you, that we can find forgiveness and new life. We pray that we would find you as the way and the truth and the life, not just today, but for all eternity. Because if we climb that mountain with you, we know it's the right mountain and you will lead us home. And we're thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for leading us along the way of life. In your name, amen.